Pharmacy Nation, I'm Pharmacy Joe. Thank you for listening to the Elective Rotation, a critical care pharmacy podcast. This is episode 132. In this episode, I'll discuss the treatment of calcium channel blocker overdose in adult patients. I have all the evidence supporting today's show linked up in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode132. If you know someone who would find this podcast helpful, please share it with them. To preview, purchase, or review my book, A Pharmacist's Guide to Inpatient Medical Emergencies, go to clinicalpharmacybooks.com. Consensus recommendations for the management of calcium channel blocker poisoning in adults have been published in the journal Critical Care in October 2016. The recommendations emphasize the role of poison centers and address which type of in-hospital interventions should be considered for adults with a potentially toxic ingestion of a calcium channel blocker. The consensus recommendations define a potentially toxic dose of calcium channel blocker as any amount above a therapeutic dose. In asymptomatic patients who have ingested a potentially toxic dose, the recommendations are for 24-hour observation in a hospital setting. If the patient ingested the calcium channel blocker within 1 hour of presentation, activated charcoal might be considered. The authors do have some strongly recommended first-line treatments for calcium channel blocker toxicity. There are three of them. They are: give IV calcium chloride 1 to 2 grams every 10 to 20 minutes. If IV calcium gluconate is used, the dose is 3 to 6 grams every 10 to 20 minutes. The second strong recommendation is to use high-dose insulin therapy if myocardial dysfunction is present. High-dose insulin therapy has positive inotropic effects in patients with calcium channel blocker toxicity. Intensive monitoring and concomitant glucose infusions are required to prevent hypoglycemia and hypokalemia when using high-dose insulin therapy. Start with a bolus of 1 unit per kilo IV of regular insulin, followed by an infusion of 1 unit per kilo per hour. Infuse dextrose 10% at a rate that maintains euglycemia. Replace potassium with IV supplementation to keep the serum potassium normal. And the third strong recommendation is to use IV infusions of norepinephrine or epinephrine if the patient is in shock. Use your local protocols for vasopressor dosing, but keep in mind that calcium channel blocker toxicity patients may require high vasopressor doses. For a review of vasopressors in general, you can listen to episode 5. There are also 4 weekly recommended first-line treatments for calcium channel blocker toxicity, and those are: number 1, you can consider the use of high-dose insulin therapy as monotherapy for these patients. Number 2, use high-dose insulin therapy even if myocardial dysfunction is not present. Number 3 is to use dobutamine or epinephrine in the presence of cardiogenic shock. And number 4 is to use atropine in the presence of symptomatic bradycardia or conduction disturbances. The IV dose is 0.5 milligram of atropine every 3 to 5 minutes until a few doses have been given. There are 2 treatments that the guidelines specifically recommend you avoid in calcium channel blocker toxicity. The first, don't use dopamine for the treatment of shock. The authors cite several cases of inconsistent hemodynamic improvement with dopamine. And the second is don't use vasopressin as monotherapy in the presence of cardiogenic shock. The authors cite several cases of worsened survival in animal models with vasopressin. No formal evidence-graded recommendation for fluid resuscitation was made. However, the work group stated they considered fluid administration as a first-line therapy with continued administration as long as the patient demonstrates evidence of fluid responsiveness. The authors also provided 3 recommendations for patients who are refractory to first-line treatments. The first, if myocardial dysfunction persists despite high-dose insulin therapy of 1 unit per kilo per hour, the dose may be titrated up to 10 units per kilo per hour. As the insulin dose rises, the glucose and potassium replacement will need to intensify. The second treatment for refractory patients is if the patient has unstable bradycardia or a high-grade AV block, consider pacing. Start with transcutaneous pacing, and if this is effective, convert to transvenous pacing. The third recommendation for refractory patients is to consider IV lipid emulsion rescue therapy. Lipid emulsion for drug toxicity has been covered previously in episodes 30 and 86. The authors declined to recommend a specific dose of IV lipid emulsion. I would consider using the updated IV lipid emulsion dosing guidelines from the American College of Medical Toxicity that I talked about in episode 86. These guidelines are for a 20% lipid emulsion to be administered as a 1.5 ml per kilo bolus. The bolus should be administered over 2 to 3 minutes, and a repeat bolus can be considered if there is a failed response to the first bolus. The bolus may be followed immediately by an infusion of 20% lipid emulsion at a rate of 0.25 ml per kilo per minute. After 3 minutes of this infusion rate, response to the bolus and initial infusion should be assessed. If there's been a significant response, the infusion rate may be adjusted to 0.025 ml per kilo per minute, which is 1/10 of the initial rate. This recommendation is based on concerns for adverse effects from extremely high cumulative rates of lipid emulsion, and a desire to be able to monitor the impact of initial therapy in a dynamic enteral overdose situation. Blood pressure, heart rate, and other available hemodynamic parameters should be recorded at least every 15 minutes during the infusion. If there's an initial response to the bolus followed by the reemergence of instability during the lowest dose infusion, then the infusion rate could be increased back to 0.25 ml per kilo per minute. Or in severe cases, you can repeat the bolus. There are 3 recommendations that the authors suggest for refractory shock or patients in cardiac arrest from calcium channel blocker toxicity. For patients in refractory shock or cardiac arrest, the authors recommend veno-arterial extracorporeal membrane oxygenation, or ECMO, in centers where the treatment is available. The authors did not feel there was sufficient data to support a recommendation for the use of an Impella or ventricular assist device. And lastly, for patients who experience a cardiac arrest, the authors recommend administering IV calcium and IV lipid therapy, even if already administered, in addition to the standard advanced cardiac life support therapies. So what's missing from these recommendations? Well, notably absent were treatments such as glucagon and methylene blue. Now, the authors do note that an appendix exists that explains the absence of these therapies from the recommendations. However, at the time this episode was recorded, the appendix is not available on the journal website. My best guess is that the lack of robust data to support the safety and efficacy of either glucagon or methylene blue is why these were left out of the recommendations. Listeners can support the show when they shop using my link to Amazon. It will cost you no extra money, and I'll receive a small commission from Amazon. Just bookmark and use my link, pharmacyjoe.com/shop, to take you to Amazon each time you shop. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you in the next episode of the Elective Rotation.